From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. We got a great show for you this week. We got Judy Collins. She's going to be coming on later to play Not My Job. But first, sad week for public radio fans. Of course, I'm referring to Garrison Keillor's announcement he will retire in 2 years. What do you think I was talking about? The search for Garrison's replacement has begun. It works the same way as with the Dalai Lama. Monks from Minnesota Public Radio will head out into the Northern Prairie looking for the baby who is the reincarnated spirit of Garrison Keillor. Telltale signs include a tendency to be prematurely wistful. Well, it's been a quiet week at my diaper. If you know any infants who suddenly launch into amusing monologues, or if you just want to play our game, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Joyce from Tamarack.
Hey, Joyce. How are you?
I'm good.
You're from Tamarack?
Tamarack, Florida.
Oh, Tamarack, Florida. Okay. Are you from there?
No, I'm from New York.
You're from New York.
So of course.
You migrated south like all the other New Yorkers.
It's the law.
It is. Is it a Florida law or a New York law?
It's a New York law.
I understand. Well, welcome to the show, Joyce. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a founder of the Axis of Evil comedy tour, Mr. Maz Jobrani.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi there.
How are you?
Next is the woman behind the advice column, Ask Amy, Ms. Amy Dickinson.
Hey, Joyce.
And lastly, a comedian who's next performing April 1st at the Bloomington, Illinois Center for the Performing Arts, Ms. Paula Poundstone.
Joyce.
Hi, Paula.
Welcome to the show, Joyce. You are going to play Who's Carl this time? Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize. Carl Castle's voice in your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Here is your first quote.
Affleck. Affleck.
Now, Carl wasn't actually quoting anybody. He was auditioning to be the new duck in those Affleck commercials. That's because the guy who has done it up to now, Gilbert Gottfried, got fired for saying stupid things about what?
About the earthquake and tsunami in Japan.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Everybody was watching the events in Japan with horror, but Mr. Gilbert Gottfried made some tasteless jokes about the Japanese disaster on his Twitter feed, and Affleck decided that he did not have the grace and human decency to portray their interrupting duck.
Well, so Twitter helped overthrow Mubarak and
Gilbert Gottfried. Yeah.
I love it that an insurance company is deciding what has grace and human decency.
Right. Now, the Japanese, as you may know, they love their cartoons, and one of the Japanese animation guys came up with a cartoon to explain to kids what is going on with the nuclear reactors. And the metaphor is that nuclear reactor boy, this character, has an upset stomach, and he's farting.
No.
And that's fine, they say. It's fine that he's farting. It's uncomfortable, but it's okay. But if he poops, then we'll be in trouble. And that's their argument. Now, we have a clip, a sound clip from the cartoon. It's in Japanese, but I think it has a universal message.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Is that real? You
That's
made that up.
That's totally real.
And you know what?
Make that up?
That was Gilbert Gottfried, I think.
There you go.
Doing that. Yeah.
I'm glad he's landed on his two little webbed feet.
He got a new gig.
Yes.
Wow.
That was a very strange-sounding fart.
That's how you fart in Japanese.
That's Japanese fart, yeah.
Joyce, here's your next quote. It's someone with warm words for former Utah Governor John Huntsman. He's a potential Republican presidential candidate.
As his good friends in China might say, he is truly the yin to my yang. And I'm going to make sure that every primary voter knows it.
That was somebody trying to make Huntsman look bad by saying how much he liked him. Who was it?
Obama?
Yes, indeed. President Obama, yes. In the president's arsenal of kung fu, there is no more powerful move than the death hug. That's what they call it. You heard the president, he was joking about it at the gridiron dinner. But this is a very real strategy the White House is using to take down those opponents they see as most dangerous. John Huntsman was the successful Republican governor of Utah, and he could be a formidable presidential candidate, except he served as President Obama's ambassador to China. And all GOP primary voters know this. Serving this president in any capacity gives you socialism cooties.
He should just endorse every Republican.
Yeah.
He should try that.
Yeah.
Oh, he should briefly date Sarah Palin.
There you
are. Date her a little bit. Just a little date.
Yeah.
It's a funny kind of love that they can't be sure what to do with. It reminds me of when I was in the sixth grade and my friends that were girls would say to me that I looked like Eddie from The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
These are your and friends,
that, yes,
Paula.
Yes, and that if I were a boy, they would go out with me. It's the same kind of thing.
Well, they are doing some things. They have, just to continue the strategy, they have let it be known that it was Newt Gingrich who smuggled the baby Obama here from Kenya. All right, very good, Joyce. Here's your last quote.
As of right now, the players and owners are making Charlie Sheen look calm, rational, and sensible.
That was a sports writer in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He was talking about the lockout and what big professional sport, Joyce?
The NFL?
Yes, football. They're, yes. They're desperate to keep Brett Favre from coming back yet again, so they just decided to cancel the whole football season. The NFL lockout is on, which means the next football season might not happen. The owners want the players. Okay, great, I see. The owners want the players to play more games for less money. Plus, the owners are making other demands. For example, they want the players to invite them to their parties. The real hardship, though, will not be suffered by football fans, but by their wives and girlfriends, who have previously enjoyed precious months of alone time during football season. Now the woman will be like, well, maybe instead of watching football, you could do the dishes or raise your children. And eventually, the guys will compromise, and they won't raise the kids, but they will join a fantasy child-rearing league. So what are these guys going to do if they can't play football? They're incredibly specialized athletes. I mean,
just push people.
I know, just... I mean, we figure, like, you know, offensive linemen could become offensive linemen and tweet tasteless jokes about Japan.
They could just be offensive.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then defensive linemen then would be very defensive, yeah, always.
They're like, hey, what?
Well, I didn't do it.
That.
Come on, it wasn't my fault.
Shut up. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Right.
You're so defensive.
Well, yeah, that's what?
Yeah, I'm a defensive lineman. That's how I am.
Carl, how did Joyce do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, Joyce had three correct answers. So, Joyce, I'll be doing the message on your voicemail.
All right,
congratulations.
Joyce.
Awesome. Thank you.
Joyce, thank you so much for playing, and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Paula, some good news for bargain hunters. There's a big sale on right now. Who just announced they're cutting prices 20%?
Oh, my heavens. If it's the 99-cent store, this is going to be great.
It's now the 79-cent store.
I don't know. Could you give me a hint, Peter? You do that sometimes with the others.
Ready? It's like, are you looking for a deal?
A pirate leprechaun.
Yeah. Lucky Charms?
I thought that was a very fine pirate impression.
Pirates are giving a deal.
The Somali pirates are giving a 20% off sale.
Oh,
yes.
That is so great.
For a limited time, hostages will be returned by the Somali pirates for 20% off their ransoms.
And if you have the Somali pirate club card.
Well, the problem is that, you know, it takes valuable manpower to hold these ships filled with people. And they want to get rid of the, you know, get them out off the showroom floor.
It's inventory.
Get back out there, get new hostages.
Yeah.
So everything must go.
Oh, the crazy peg leg sale.
Exactly.
I'm crazy, Ahab.
We took way too many hostages.
You know, the problem is, you go...
Come and on down!
You go to the discount rack, you can never find a hostage your size.
No. Did they furl a banner
exactly.
over the side of the boat?
Yes. Oh. They all wore a button. Save money on ransom now. Ask me how.
That's got to make the hostages feel pretty worthless. They're like, come on, I'm worth... You can't give a discount on me.
Yeah, and it's like, when you get your hostage back, do you tell them? Because he's like, I was languishing there for 6 months. And you're like, well, I wanted to wait till you went on clearance. I'm a bargain hunter, sorry. You're like, honey, I never ransom retail. You know that about me. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Patrick from Suffolk, Virginia.
Hey, Patrick, how are things in Suffolk?
A little nutty, being that we're the peanut capital.
You're the peanut capital?
Yes.
For some reason I thought that was down in Georgia, but that's you.
Well, we've got this big statue of Mr. Peanut in Town Square, so...
Oh, Mr. Peanut.
Oh.
I love him. I mean, the top hat, the monocle, the whole thing. It's
a classy.
Good look.
He's classy.
Classy.
I agree with you. Well, welcome to the show, Patrick. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Patrick's topic?
Finally, I know who I really am.
Everyone has faced that moment of existential doubt and asked, who am I? Where do I come from? Well, this week we read about someone who sought answers for those questions and was shocked at what they found. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about people uncovering a secret about their identity, only one of which was in this week's news. Choose that true story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
I am.
First, let's hear from Maz Jobrani.
Conservative commentator and Fox News contributor Michelle Malkin has expressed her fear that there are Muslims amongst us who are hiding their true identity, the most prominent, she claims, being Barack Obama. However, when she set out to find proof of these undercover Muslims, she found more than she bargained for. It turns out that there are indeed some Muslims hiding their identity to fly under the radar, the most pertinent one for Malkin being her own grandfather. Yes, Grandpa Malkin, who is from the Philippines but lives with Michelle's parents, had not told the family about his religion for fear of being ostracized and thrown out. Do you know how hard it is to pray 5 times a day when your family doesn't know? I had to excuse myself to the bathroom every time I wanted to pray. And the ham dinners. Don't get me started on the ham dinners. Malkin was in shock when her grandfather revealed his true identity to her. He explained that he had been a closeted Muslim for too long and it was time for him to live his life and be happy with himself. Malkin used the revelation to confirm her argument that Muslims are taking over. First they wanted the youth. Now they're going after my grandfather? My 90-year-old grandfather? This is sick.
Conservative activist Michelle Malkin finds a Muslim in her very home. Your next story of someone getting in touch with their roots comes from Amy Dickinson.
When Muffin Sanders was a child, her mother taught her nursery rhymes. And she thought every little girl skipped rope and said, mice, chicken, rats, and voles, you'll grow a tail like a little tadpole. Now, Sanders has discovered the dark truth. Her late mother's diary reveals that she's the latest in a long line of witches stretching back to the 15th century in Romania. Those nursery rhymes are spells and incantations, she told the Spokane Post. Her powers are mostly benign, healing, some levitation, mild psychic ability, and a no-fail devil's food cake recipe. Saunders, now a mild-mannered kindergarten teacher, says she's adjusted to her witch status, but she told the newspaper, I really wish I hadn't taught the kindergartners some of this stuff. I'm not sure I can undo it now.
A woman finds out that she's a witch. A witch. And your last story of an unlikely origin comes from Paula Poundstone.
Having been adopted as a small boy, restaurateur Ted Mann might well have wondered at one time or another about the identities of his birth parents. He may have thought that he was descended from royalty or maybe a famous Theodore. maybe Theodore Roosevelt or even Theodore Geisel, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss. Then, at 42, the Bay Ridge native got a call from a sister he never knew he had, who revealed to him that he is indeed the son of a famous Theodore. And the Theodore is Ted Nugent. I'm like, what? Laughed man, who claimed to have had a hard time breathing for a while, not able to leave the house nor pull himself away from the YouTube videos of dear new dad running around crazy on stage. In the first hour of their meeting, Ted Sr. asked Ted Jr. to go shoot guns. Suddenly, his penchant for waiting tables in a choker collar with a shirtless vest and turning from his customers to waggle his butt and reveal his furry tail made sense.
All right. These are your stories of a secret origin. From Maz Joe Brani, the story of how conservative blogger and activist Michelle Malkin discovered that her grown grandfather was a secret Muslim. From Amy Dickinson, the story of how a woman in Washington State discovered that she was raised as a witch. And your last story from Paula Poundstone, how a middle-aged man discovered that he was, in fact, a long-lost son of famous gun nut and rock and roller Ted Nugent. Which of these is the real story of an origin revealed?
I'm going to go with Ted Nugent.
You're going to go with Ted Nugent? Why?
I could just see him spreading lots of seed.
Yeah. All right, that's your choice. You're going to pick Paula's story. Well, we spoke to the person in question to get their story.
Going to meet my biological father was overwhelming enough, but then to compound that with its Ted Nugent really just kind of set me off on many emotional feelings.
That was Ted Mann of Brooklyn, New York. He is the long-lost son of Ted Nugent. You absolutely had it right. Paula Poundstone had the real story. You get a point for her. You win a point. Congratulations. You win Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And now the game where we invite on folk legends and treat them like normal folk. Our guest has been making music for more than 50 years. So is Keith Richards, but she looks way, way better. Her album Paradise is out now. She's got a new album and a new book coming out this fall. Judy Collins, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
You grew up and you were like a classical music prodigy, right? Playing the piano?
Well, I played the piano. I practiced every day a couple of hours. I had a poodle skirt. I wore white gloves to church, and that was before I became a hippie, you know, before everything happened in the great folk scare.
With the great folk explosion.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get caught up in that? Were you walking down the street and you saw somebody who was unkempt, and you would like, I too would like to be unkempt?
I was so kempt, really, and I needed to get unkempt. That's what I needed.
So many of us do.
The first music I heard was from a movie score of The Black Knight, and it was an Alan Ladd movie about King Arthur and his merry men, and the singer was a guy named Elton Hayes from Bury St. Edmund in England. Anyway, he was singing this song in the movie soundtrack, I guess, and somebody was playing it in 1954, and I heard it, went crazy and said, I'm going to New York, I'm going to go to Gertie's, I'm going to go to the Newport Folk Festival, I'm going to be a folk singer.
Wait a minute. You're telling me there's a direct line from, like, listening to a soundtrack to an Alan Ladd King Arthur movie?
Yes. And the other person...
like, dropping acid with Bob Dylan. It's like,
that's
boom.
Right. That's exactly the direction that I took.
So did you have to... how did you make yourself over into a folky, into a hippie? I mean, what are the steps?
Well, first I got rid of my poodle skirt.
Right. So going without pants. Thing
yeah.
one. So you transform yourself. How did you fall in with these people, all the amazing folk singers and rock and rollers of the 60s? I mean, how did...
You know, I found them all as I went along. I sang in all these clubs, you know, the Bitter End here in New York, of course, the Gate of Horn. I mean, they were everywhere. And I worked with all these incredible artists. I learned songs and I sang songs. I was just lucky. You know, I heard this music, The other singer that inspired me was Jo Stafford. Can you believe it?
Oh,
it
wasn't I love
Pete Seeger.
Her.
Yeah, it wasn't Pete Seeger, and it wasn't Woody Guthrie. It was Jo Stafford. But I mean, she was famous for singing, you know, "See the pyramids along the Nile, you know, watch the sunset from a desert isle." And she made her living doing that, and then she came out with an album of folk songs on which she sang Barbara Allen.
You just broke into song, and we've heard other interviews with you where you did that. And do you do that, like, in regular life? Like, when I called you the other day to chat before the show, I got your voicemail, and you sing your voicemail message.
Oh, yes. I don't know what I was singing. I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places. Probably.
Do you do that? I do it a lot.
I do certainly when I do speaking engagements, I always break into lots of songs. And actually, when I do concerts, I break into even more songs.
Oh, I would hope. Do you do it when ordering a hamburger?
It depends upon the ingredients and the restaurant.
Right.
I do that when we grocery shop, and my kids get so mad at me. I thought it was a good thing.
Do you try to sing?
Do you sing like, things like, you probably don't sing that, "Cream of wheat is so good to eat and it makes you feel so grand." Do you remember that song?
No, but I love it.
Well, next time you go into the cereal section, you can sing that.
I'm going to have to.
Do you sing, I mean, Paul, do you mean you sing your instructions to your children, like, "Stop bouncing around or I'll take you home"? Or do you just like singing regular
songs? "Stop bouncing around tomorrow."
No, we'll be like in the grocery store, and they have a fine soundtrack in our grocery store. They have good music.
Right.
And so I sing along and sometimes dance in certain aisles. And I thought it was an expression of happiness, I assume Judy does it.
Absolutely. It's an expression of joy and happiness. Anything that comes to mind.
Judy, we did some research on you, and we had our intern look up a lot of reviews, and he tells us that in all the reviews of you and your singing, the same four words keep coming up. They are clear, mountain stream, bell, and icy in various combinations. She's like an icy mountain stream. She's clear as a bell. She's clear as a mountain stream that's icy, bell-like, you know. So, I mean, what do you think? You're going to go with that?
I'll go with it. I think that's a good description. Yes, I think it's good. I think it's good. Or warm as toast, honey, drenched. There are some other things.
Oh, go on. This is actually...
I'll tell you something. Judy and I work in a lot of the same places, and I'll tell you what I hear. I hear that your voice remains very, very beautiful and that hasn't lost anything over the 50 years.
You would remind me. It's been 50 years.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Judy, what's your secret to that? Because that is true.
It is
like,
amazing.
It's so rare. Yeah. What's your secret there?
It's amazing. I was very lucky. I had a lot of training as a classical pianist and sang all those songs when growing up. And otherwise, I would say I have another answer, a shorter answer.
Please?
It's just good living.
Good living.
See, because I think Tom Waits is going to run into some trouble.
You think so? But I thought the whole point...
You're putting that in the future?
It's going to get worse? I thought the whole point of being a folk singer in the 60s was to live poorly.
I'll tell you, part of the 60s was just the skill of living through it, I swear to God. Because, after all, we were supposed to break all the rules. We were supposed to do everything that our parents... Well, my parents were different, but when most parents would have told you not to do.
Does that mean you would take the acid, but you would have it in tea? Hot tea?
Well, I had, I was so addicted to various things that I took acid once and it just about ruined my life, so I did it again.
Oh, I see, of course.
Man.
One last question, which is, do you, in terms of your own music, you've sung so much stuff, you've done folk and pop and rock and Broadway, do you have like a musical guilty pleasure you listen to when you're alone and no one will know?
I listen to a lot of different kinds of music. I try to be broad in my musical taste.
Like, do you listen to pop, like Katy Perry and, like, you know, that stuff?
I will, now that I know.
Yeah, now that you have turned her on to Katy Perry.
Right, oh, good. You,
now it, that I
when,
know, I
when
will.
When Judy Collins' cover of I Kissed a Girl comes out, it will be your fault. Anyway.
I kissed a girl, yeah.
Well, Judy Collins, we're delighted to have you with us.
I kissed a girl.
And I liked it.
And I liked it.
I can't believe I got to sing with Judy Collins. Woo! Wow.
Well, Judy Collins, we have asked you here to play a game. We're calling...
It's Bootsy, baby.
Judy Collins, surely you know about Bootsy Collins, the star bassist for Parliament Funkadelic, rocker of the greatest rhinestones, suits, hats, and glasses seen in American music. So we're going to ask you three questions about the other musical Collins. If you get two right, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice in their home answering machine. Carl, who is Judy Collins playing for?
Judy is playing for Emma Sabian of Claremont, California.
Here is your first question. Bootsy got his first big gig when he joined James Brown's backup band. What was his lucky break to get that job? A, James Brown visited the car dealership where Bootsy worked and saw him rapping out a beat on the hood of a Buick. B, James Brown's prior band all quit because they weren't getting paid enough, so he needed new musicians in a hurry. Or C, Bootsy had a gig delivering flowers to James Brown's house. He brought his bass and played a few measures before they could throw him out.
I would go with C.
You're going to go with C, that he grabbed that opportunity to audition for The Godfather of Soul while delivering flowers?
Yeah.
I like that story. I wish it were true. In fact, what happened was James Brown got rid of his prior band because they wanted too much money and hired a new one, including Bootsy, and he went on to great fame and fortune from there.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You still have two more chances. Bootsy has had a lot of hits spanning a lot of genres, much like you, including which of these in Bootsy's oeuvre? A classical cantata called L'Âme du Funk. B, a funk remix of Ronald Reagan's joke about bombing the Russians. Or C, a children's song called Uncle Bootsy's Magic Box.
I think I'll pick B, Ronald Reagan.
You're going to go with Ronald Reagan? Yeah. You're right.
So all right.
That's effective. Bootsy collaborated with a member of the Talking Heads to make a record called 5 Minutes. Here's a sample.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
There you go. It's slightly it's slightly terrifying, and you can dance to it. You've got one right with one to go. If you get this one right, you will win it all. Here we go. Last question. Bootsy has enjoyed putting on various personas over the years on stage and elsewhere. One of his latest is a digital avatar that appears on his website. This cartoon character is known as whom? A, Boo Manchu. B, Booty Booty Boot Boot Boot. Or C, Phil Collins.
I like A, Booty Booty Boo Manchu.
You're going to go for Boo Manchu? That's A?
Yeah.
You're right. It's Boo Manchu.
Oh, thank God. I finally won something. Thank God.
Boo Manchu wears a Fu Manchu mustache and spreads the gospel of music to kids.
Oh, God,
Carl, how did
good.
Judy Collins do in our quiz?
Well, Judy had two correct answers, and so, Judy, you win for Emma Sabian of Claremont, California.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Judy Collins' most recent album is Paradise. Her next one is out in October. Judy Collins, thank you so much for being with us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Right,
what a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Bye, thank
Judy.
You so much.
Bye now.
Take care.
Thanks so much. In just a minute, in his March Madness bracket, Carl picks the University of Rhyme to go all the way to the Final Four. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Maz, a Manhattan mother has sued her 4-year-old daughter's elite preschool, claiming the instruction there did what?
Taught her?
No. Because of them, she will not be able to do what?
She won't be able to...
She'll have to...
Get into...
College?
But not only college.
Oh, get a job.
No.
Graduate school.
No, not just any college.
Oh, Harvard.
Said. Yes, not... Because of them, she will not be able to go to an Ivy League school, so she's suing. That's the lawsuit.
Is it too late for my parents to get a piece of this? I'll tell you something.
This woman, her name is Nicole Imprescia. She paid $19,000 to send her daughter to the elite York Avenue preschool. Why did she do that? Because it would prepare her daughter for the ERB test, which you need to ace to get into a good kindergarten, and you need that to get into a good grammar school, which gets you into an elite high school, which you need for the Ivies. So basically, it's this preschool that decides who in life will be a winner and who's going to go to the corner to eat the paste. According to the lawsuit, quote, the school proved not to be a school at all, but just one big playroom, unquote.
Oh, no.
How dare they?
Preschool.
How dare they?
In which little Lucia was squandering precious study time learning shapes and colors. And shapes and colors do not get you to Harvard, people.
Listen, unless you have oval really down. You know what? This is like one of those whoa moments for me where I just realized what went wrong. I had Mrs. Bump in Sudbury Co-op, and I'll tell you something, she is going down.
Your preschool teacher was named Mrs. Bump?
Yeah, there were days she couldn't even teach because we were laughing so hard.
Amy, last year we talked about a new glossy magazine that was launched by Al-Qaeda, and we predicted what they might do as a follow-up. We were right. As a second title, Al-Qaeda has now launched what?
A glossy magazine and a second title.
Well, the first one was sort of like a lifestyle magazine.
Right.
Like Al-Qaeda Gentleman's Quarterly,
Light.
That kind of
okay.
thing. You know. Maybe it's called, I'm not sure, maybe it's called like Cosmo Qaeda.
A women's magazine?
Yes, a women's magazine. Very good. The first issue of the magazine, the real title translates as The Majestic Woman. It features on the cover, yes, a woman in a burqa holding a machine gun.
No.
Articles include, and imagine this if you will, printed around the picture of the woman on the cover, you know, how to marry a mujahideen. First aid tips. And this is real, how to preserve a youthful complexion. And Al-Qaeda's answer, never leave your house. Seriously.
Wow.
Keep your face covered. Don't go outside.
That's good advice.
Man.
The sun can really
I know.
They are really starting to piss me off.
Oh, finally.
Yeah. I would consider writing a monthly column for them, but otherwise.
Of course, because.
Ask Amy, the infidel.
That would really be funny. That'd be great. I think they should have an Ask an Infidel column.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And it would always be like, it would always be like, editor's note, don't do that.
Right. Boy, if they had any problems winning over the women before, this will
do
it.
Oh, yeah,
this will take care of it.
Cosmo, how to have an explosive night in bed. Al-Qaeda, how to spend time in bed with a guy with explosives. Gently, yeah, no sudden move.
That's right. Avoid detonation.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Don't pull that.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming shows in Baltimore, Maryland, and Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Ken Gantz from Boston, Massachusetts.
How are you?
I'm good. I was going to amend that. I'm actually calling today from sunny and warm Los Angeles on my spring break.
There you are.
Nice.
So are you from Los Angeles or you're from Boston?
I am from Los Angeles. I'm here for my grandma's 80th birthday, so shout out to her.
Hey, shout out to grandma on her 80th.
And I now go to school and live in Boston.
There you go.
Are you in Harvard?
I am. I'm actually a UC Berkeley law student, but I'm completing my final year as a visiting student at Harvard.
Where'd you go to kindergarten?
No, preschool.
Preschool?
Preschool.
Do you know your shapes and colors?
Well, Ken, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in 2 of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Ready
Great.
To go?
I'm ready.
Here is your first limerick.
It begins with a counting of sheep. and ignoring a car alarm's beep. We're teaching our kids to gently shut lids. We're helping our teens learn to...
Oh, boy. Was it sleep?
It is sleep.
Yeah. Sleep.
Speaking of education, it seems schools in Scotland don't think teenagers know how to sleep properly. And this, they say, is harming productivity. So, as part of a major overhaul to improve Scotland's educational system, teens will undergo special sleep instruction. They'll learn how to sleep, when to sleep, ideally during society's designated sleep time, also known as night.
If you're teaching sleep and they fall asleep during your class, then you've done a good job.
That's true. You always know if they're doing their homework.
Yeah.
Here is your next limerick.
It might work for sweet Tony Randall, but potpourri I cannot handle. I'd rather smell scents of mud and cement. I'm burning a real manly...
candle.
Yes! Guys, are you tired of having to curse the darkness rather than lighting one of your wife's scented honeysuckle patchouli candles? I've got exciting news for you. Man cans. These are scented candles designed especially for men. They come in a variety of aromas. Pizza, grass, catcher's mitt, campfire, and our favorite, bacon. Oh.
That's just nasty.
And you know what's going to happen? Some guy's going to be like, what the heck, and eat it.
You just put ketchup on it.
Yeah. I'm out of Vienna sausages, but I got this candle. It smells pretty good.
Cooks itself. You light it. It's on fire. It's cooked.
It's cooked.
Done. Here is your last limerick.
When we migrate, we're sunk if we're drunk. And those who have shrunk go kerplunk. We can't do our duty with too small a booty. We swans need more junk in the...
trunk?
Yes! I like big swans, I cannot lie. The latest environmental crisis, swans' butts are shrinking.
Oh,
it turns
geez.
Out the rear end of the majestic swan acts as a sort of gas tank for the birds, storing fuel to sustain them.
During
their lengthy 2,400-mile migrations. The bigger the butt, the longer the journey. In recent years, though, swan migration routes have gotten shorter, and that's because their butts are shrinking, say scientists who measure swan butts.
Wow.
That explains all those swans in the rap videos.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, there's 50 Cent, you know, he's doing his thing by his Lincoln Navigator, and all these swans in bikinis are like, honk, honk. They're sashaying around, honk.
Affleck.
Carl, how did Ken do in our quiz?
Ken was perfect. 3 correct answers. Ken, you win our prize.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for playing, Ken, and good luck at Harvard.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ken.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Amy Dickinson and Paula Poundstone, they both have 3 points each. Maz Jobrani has 2.
Okay.
Close.
That.
I am. I'm right there.
All right.
Neck and neck.
Yeah. So, Maz, you are in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. California residents fearing cross-Pacific contamination rushed pharmacies for iodine tablets to counter the effects of blank.
The Japan earthquake nuclear thing.
Yeah, radiation. Republican lawmakers said Tuesday that since the 14 Democrats have returned to blank, they will no longer be held in contempt.
Wisconsin.
Right. Productivity in offices around the country dropped drastically on Thursday when blank kicked off this week.
Oh, that would be daylight savings.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, March Madness, NCAA basketball tournament.
Daylight savings, though, caused the... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fort Wayne, Indiana announced its new government building would be called Citizens Square, despite a worldwide effort to name it after former Mayor Blank.
Where is this?
This is in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The mayor of Indiana.
No. People wanted to name it after former mayor Harry Balls.
Oh, I heard of that.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Because the spaghetti and meatballs included pieces of red plastic, 10,000 pounds of blank frozen dinners were recalled.
Stouffer's.
Lean cuisine.
Same thing.
In less than 24 hours after it was unveiled, the 2012 Olympic countdown clock in London blanked.
It stopped working.
Right. A study of British consumers by the Meat Trades Journal shows that 17% of Britons believe that blank.
That meat is good.
No. 17% of Britons believe that pigs have wings.
Oh, come on.
That you can buy and eat. The survey was for National Butchers Week. They found that also nearly 20% of people thought they could pick up tofu ribs and legs of liver. His lack of knowledge of meat was hailed as wonderful news from butchers who immediately relabeled their ground chuck as far pricier unicorn meat.
Wait, this is the Meat Journal?
The Meat Journal, the leading peer-reviewed journal of meat.
Boy, imagine writing for the one that comes in second.
I know. It's my next job.
That would be Meat Gazette.
Yeah. I write a column called What Am I, Chop Liver?
Carl, how did Moz do in our quiz?
Moz had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. He now has 10 points, and Moz has the lead.
Let's stop right now. Let's just quit.
We have flipped a coin. Paula has elected to go third. Sir Amy, you're up now. Here we go. Fill in the blank. To once again avoid a shutdown, Congress approved another stopgap blank bill.
Spending bill.
Yes. Violence escalated after the King of Blank declared a state of emergency there.
Ooh, Bahrain?
Yes. On Thursday, the House voted to remove federal funding for blank.
Oh, NPR?
Yes. As more details of his sex scandal emerged, crowds booed Italian Prime Minister Blank.
Berlusconi.
Right. A study in marine mammal sciences proved sperm whales have blanks.
Sperms?
No. Turns out they have names.
Oh, they do. They name their babies.
Yeah, like Todd.
Yeah, Scott.
Marsha.
Troy.
Alice Cooper and Neil Diamond were among those inducted into the blank this week.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right, archaeologists.
/ yes. Assistance living home.
Yes, archaeologists exploring the marshes in the southern coast of Spain claim to have found the lost city of blank.
Atlantis.
Right, an Idaho teen accidentally submerged his mother's car after he blanked.
Submerged his mother. He drove it into the sewage treatment plant.
No, after he mistook an enormous lake for a puddle. Richie Childers told police he thought the water off the boat ramp was just a big puddle, so he didn't hesitate to drive into it. It wasn't until the car started sinking that he realized the puddle was actually Hayden Lake, a 4,000-acre lake with 40 miles of shoreline. When asked if he'd been drinking, he said, well, just a puddle.
See, now, if he had knew his shapes.
Yes.
You know.
Carl, how did Amy do in our quiz?
Amy had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 15 points, and Amy has taken the lead.
All right, then. Very good, Amy. How many, then, does Paula need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright. Boy.
All right, Paul, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, Hillary Clinton said that if Obama is reelected, she won't serve again as blank.
Secretary of State.
Right. On Thursday, the UN Security Council approved a resolution creating a no-fly zone over blank.
Libya.
Right. The New York Times announced on Thursday that it would soon begin charging for people to read blank.
Their online
their website. Officials at the Amherst County Courthouse in Virginia were surprised when a woman walked in and blanked.
Oh. Hmm. I remember.
Pulled a monkey out of her bra.
I knew that.
A portion of ticket sales for his Torpedo of Truth live tour will go to help earthquake victims in Japan, according to actor blank.
Oh, Charlie Sheen.
Right. NASA launched an investigation after it discovered blank at Florida's Kennedy Space Center.
Aliens.
No, cocaine.
Oh.
A blind man in England whose seeing eye dog went blind was able to get a blank.
a seeing-eye cat?
No. He was able to get a guide dog for the guide dog.
Oh.
Graham Wasp was devastated when his trusty seeing-eye dog, Edward, lost his sight, but not for long. He just got Opal, a guide dog for the guide dog. Opal is already going the extra mile for Graham and Edward, helping Graham get around the neighborhood and helping Edward find butts to sniff. Carol, did Paula do well enough to win?
She needed 6 to tie, but Paula had just 4 correct answers. Oh. So with 15 points, Amy Dickinson
there
is this week's champion.
Whoa.
You did it.
Wow.
You did it. Well done, Amy. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict how we will amuse ourselves if there is no football season. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, offering 24/7 customer support and mobile apps. eSurance car insurance, people when you want them, technology when you don't. The National Association of Realtors, providing resources for home ownership at houselogic.com. And Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finished and stained solid hardwoods, bamboo, cork, and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Nick Park. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Popcan Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will we amuse ourselves with if there is no football? Maz Jobrani.
Well, there's going to be a resurgence of old-time sports. Things like Sunday night jousting, Monday night falconry, and Thursday night stonings.
Are you ready for some stonings? Amy Dickinson.
Forming now, the Sheen League, featuring warlocks, goddesses, and lots of lawyers.
And Paula Poundstone.
Something that America's been hungering for the longest time, Super Science Sunday!
Well, if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Amy Dickinson, Maz Dobrani. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you in Waterbury, Connecticut next week. This is NPR.